Moncrief on News Talk.
Bit of a theme here because we're going to go from one author to another. In this case, award-winning, best-selling, translated into multiple languages. And it's nearly 2 years since her fifth book came out, Strange Sally Diamond, and people are still in the shade state after reading it. Liz Nugent, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Thanks very much for coming along today.
It's funny that you said to her that children don't read the Irish Times, because when I was a kid, I had no discernible talent whatsoever. So when cousins would come over, they'd be made to perform, you know, sing a song or Irish dance or something. And I couldn't do anything except read. So my mother used to make me read the front page of the Irish Times. That was the only thing I could do.
Okay, how did that go down with relatives?
It was kind of quiet, you know. Yeah. I didn't get a round of applause, you know. Oh. I didn't understand what I was reading. I could read the words, but I didn't know what they meant, you know.
Yeah. Wait, but, did your writing career really start in Fair City?
No. it started while I was there. Like the first thing I wrote was a small piece for Sunday Miscellany. And then I entered European Broadcasting Union competition for pilot episode of a drama. And I won that. And then I entered the short story competition, the radio short story competition.
The Frances McManus.
Yeah, yeah, and I was shortlisted for that. It just seemed that every little thing that I did, I was successful at. So the signs were telling me, you know, you should write, but yeah. I wasn't writing for Fair City.
Right.
I was in an admin role there.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So, because I thought you were under some sort of shaping the story kind of position.
Well, there. I was kind of backup admin to the story team, but I wasn't allowed to pitch stories or give ideas.
Okay.
So you can imagine how frustrating that was.
That was. But did it help actually listening to people shaping up stories?
It did and it didn't. Like, because I'm trying to be really delicate here.
Yeah, I know.
like, I did learn, I suppose, you know, the whole premise of a soap opera is you want your viewers to tune in next day.
Yeah.
And so I learned that at the end of every episode, at the end of every chapter, I need to hook my reader in some way to bring them forward to the next page. So I did learn a bit there, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So kind of, not quite a cliffhanger, but at least lingering question.
Yeah.
And did it take a while for you to figure out what kinds of books you wanted to write?
I had no idea.
Very peculiar to you, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about genre. I didn't know it was a thing. I didn't know. I thought books were books. And, you know, I'd never really noticed that when you went into a bookshop, they're all in different categories.
Yeah.
You know, I just went towards the front tables and picked whatever was on the front tables. But when I found out I was a crime writer was when I was nominated for Crime Novel of the Year Award with my first book. And that's how I found out I was a crime writer. And then I started reading the other, because I wasn't familiar with crime writing, or like Irish crime writing, and I had never read Agatha Christie, never read Leigh Todd, never read Stephen King, never read any of the greats, you know. And it was only when I read the other nominees in the category that I realized, God, there's some really good writing in crime writing. Like, it's a really good standard.
Mm.
So, yeah. I try and keep up that standard too.
Yeah. So, I mean, but your characters are always kind of slightly on the margins. They're kind of odd.
Yeah.
I don't want to do spoilers for anyone who hasn't read Strange Sally Diamond, but like the genius conceit in it is that she's completely logical about everything she does.
Oh, yeah.
She's just literal about things.
Oh, yeah.
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 And so it kind of almost like, just when you start with that, I'm telling you your own book, but it kind of propels itself along.
Yeah.
Which is, who did the audio book for, by the way? Sorry, I'm going all over the place.
Gosh, who was it? Oh.
That's showbiz.
Yeah.
Whoever she was, she was great.
She was fantastic.
She was. She really was brought fantastic. It. She was. Her tone was absolutely spot on.
I know.
On that.
We'll have to find out. Somebody over there might look it up.
Yeah.
Niamh is looking it up as we
have you kind of looked back and gone, oh yeah, my characters are of a particular sort?
Yeah, my characters are, all of them are flawed in different ways and affected by major events in their childhood.
Mm.
I can say that for all of them. And it is, they're all, I suppose, generational trauma would be my theme if I had one. And yeah, they do strange things or awful things. Sally Diamond is the first character I've written who isn't a psychopath or a sociopath.
Yeah.
Like most of them are really kind of evil. She's actually relatively normal. She's not as strange as the other characters. But I'm drawn towards the darker side of life in my writing.
Have you ever thought about that? Why that is? Do I need help?
No, I think I get all the darkness out on the page so that in my real life I can just have a laugh.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. And how do, like, I assume do you have another book really ready to go?
I finished the next one. It's not out until next March.
Yeah.
But I have finished the next one.
Yeah, and how do publishers ever come back and say, it's a bit too dark, or give it a happy ending, or that kind of thing?
The Americans are particularly squeamish sometimes. I had to take out a specific part of a specific scene in Sally Diamond for the Americans.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For anybody who's read it, it's the part where a child is locked in with his mother into a situation and he kicks her in the stomach.
Oh, yeah.
But that didn't happen in the American edition.
Does that, okay, so they take out a scene. Does that, from your point of view,
no,
does that
disturb? No, they didn't take out the scene. They just took out the deliberate.
Right, okay.
It was more of an accident.
Yeah, okay, so they changed the turn rather than to disturb the flow of the story.
Yeah.
It was Jessica Regan.
Jess Regan. Yes, she's fantastic.
Brilliant. In relation to you, Callum? No, okay. Callum O'Regan is here, but she's just a Regan. And you, I read that you find it easier to write male characters.
Yeah. I get killed for saying this every time, but men have less thoughts. Am I right? I think...
Sorry, I drifted off there for a second.
Well, women are much more likely to second guess themselves.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. Like, did I do that right? Did I say the right thing? Did I go... Whereas, like, if I ask my husband, like, in the early days of our relationship, if I was annoyed with him, I would just go silent. And he would say, "Is everything, are you okay?" And I'd say, "Fine." And he'd put that to mean that I was fine.
Yeah.
How foolish was he? Well, actually, I was furious. But I had so many thoughts that he didn't have. And when I asked him what he wanted for his birthday, he would tell me. And I would say, no, surprise me. And that didn't work too well either.
No, but did you leave hints that he should get?
Oh, yeah.
But once in advance.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't really pick up on those.
Yeah.
So now we just don't bother with birthday presents.
So would male characters be kind of a more boring to write? The more like foils to...
Men say exactly what they think.
Mm.
Women are much more likely to hide their thoughts or parse what they're going to say in advance of saying it.
Yeah. And perhaps sometimes overthink things.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. The now, when you were six, was it you fell down a flight of stairs?
Yeah.
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 And what happened to you as a result?
I had a brain hemorrhage and as a result, I have dystonia. It's a medical condition, neurological condition, which affects my right hand side. So most people who see me will know that I walk with a limp, but not a lot of people would know that I can't use my right hand very well. So I type only with my left hand. I can lift things, I can carry things with my right hand, but I can't wriggle my fingers. So there was my musical career out the window. I couldn't play the guitar or the piano or the tin whistle or... Might have a go at the triangle one day.
And typing with one hand, how does that... Have you developed your own way of doing that?
Well, Shakespeare wrote everything with one hand and a quill, It's
true.
Not...
True, yeah.
It can't be that big a deal, If you think about how books were written in the past, I have the benefit of spell check.
Yes.
All of these. And a Word document, which does a lot of the work for you. So, yeah. When I was in school, I guess, I kind of gave up on school long before it gave up on me. Because I knew that I would never be able to finish an exam paper. Because in those days, they didn't have... Yeah, now you'd have a scribe... ascribed to you,
yeah,
if you like, to finish your exam paper. But when I was a kid, they didn't, I don't think those things existed. So I wrote in my left hand, but I was writing very slowly then. And so, yeah, it took quite a while. But, you know, I went through the Leaving Cert, never finished an exam paper.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and had you
been left-handed before the fall?
No, I was right-handed.
So you had to learn
Well, in fact, I had 3 or 4 years of serious physiotherapy to try and get my right hand to work. And eventually, the brain is a miraculous thing. My left hand took the pen from my right hand. And in the beginning, I was writing upside down. Eventually, I was turning my hand around to write the right way. But it took years. That was over the course of about 8 or 9 years, I suppose. So now I'm fast with my left hand. I can type as fast with my left hand as most people can type with two.
God, I'd love to see that, actually, because you know the way you do some keys with your left hand and right? Are you doing all the keys?
Yeah, everything with my left hand. Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of cool from the sound of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not going do with one finger.
No.
You're actually typing with your fingers. Yeah. That's a very specific skill. Now, also...
I put it on my CV.
Now, I don't want to give the impression that it is just like full of medical mishaps, but it's a very interesting story. When you fell over, and was it you dislocated your knee a few back?
Oh, God. Yeah, I dislocated my kneecap twice. And then I had the most recent kind of... medical event was I had brain surgery in London, in the London Clinic, the end of 2023, just coming up to Christmas. And the London Clinic, this was covered by the VHI miraculously.
Wow.
London Clinic is where King Charles and Princess Kate went to have their whatever cancers treated. And I had never been in such luxury in my life. There's a menu and a wine list with, several different types of champagne and all of this in the hospital. And I thought, wow, brain surgery, I'm going to have a nice little oxy holiday now. Mm. And in fact, when I woke up from the brain surgery, they said, do you have any pain? I was like, oh, yeah, it's pretty bad. And they gave me paracetamol. Because actually, there's no nerve endings in the brain. It was just the side of the wound.
Oh,
so it's like having your arm stitched. So it wasn't actually that painful.
Yeah.
So paracetamol.
Was it there that the occupational therapist told you to go and have a cigarette?
No, that was one of the kneecap incidents.
Yeah.
That happened in 2019. I fell outside a friend's house and dislocated my kneecap, and I went to. the rehab hospital in Donnybrook to learn how to walk again. And while I was there, the occupational therapist came around and I had to fill out this form. And said, do you drink? Do you smoke? And I ticked yes to the smoking thing. And then she came around the next day and she said, you don't happen to have cigarettes with you, do you? And I actually did have cigarettes with me because I'd had them since the night of my accident.
Mm.
But
Now, just to be clear, you smoked when you drank. Like a lot of people.
Yeah, I wasn't a regular smoker. Yeah. So I hadn't smoked in about 6 weeks because I'd been in Vincent's for 6 weeks before this. And now I was 6 weeks in the Royal Hospital. And so I hadn't smoked before that. So she said, okay, just for our health and safety rules, I have to take you outside. And you have to prove to me that you can smoke without setting fire to yourself. So I was taken out to a freezing cold hut outside the hospital and lit the cigarette, smoked it, and put it out and didn't set fire to myself. But that started me on smoking every day, and I became completely addicted to everyday smoking, all day, everyday smoking.
That's the health service for you now, getting people
out of cigarettes. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
I gave up eventually.
Okay. Good. How many languages have you been translated into?
I think there's 38 or 40. Like, there's new ones coming on stream, and there's a lot of them that haven't been published yet. But I know it's like 42 or 43 countries, because Spanish covers Argentina and Uruguay and Chile and lots of South American countries. So yeah, it's bizarre to me that people in India and Korea and China are reading my book. I don't know what they make of it. Or...
And movie rights, TV rights?
Possibly. Can't really
You can't
say.
Really say?
No.
Yeah. Okay. But
I'm fingers crossed. I mean, this has happened before. This stuff has been optioned. Like, until somebody said to me the other night, until you're watching it and the first ad break comes, you don't really know whether it's happening. So I'll have to wait until the first ad break.
We'll all wait for the first ad break. Liz, thanks a million for coming in. Nugent, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.